A very good morning, brothers and sisters of Pantai Baptist Church. Good morning. It is indeed a great pleasure and honor for me to be here to share God's word this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Mark and the elders for giving me this opportunity. And this morning, I'm going to share from Psalm 8, a glorious psalm praising God. And the title of my message is called Majestic is His Name. Let us join our hearts and minds together this morning to commit this time to our Lord. Father Lord, thank you for gathering your people this morning, that together we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, indeed we know that your sweet presence is in our midst. May your Holy Spirit anoint my lips as I humble myself, and may your word goes forth and touch the hearts of all your people this morning, that you will do the work of transformation in all our lives, that we will draw closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. In 1715, King Louis XIV, also called King Louis the Great, died. He died at the age of 77, and he was the King of France for 72 years. He became king at the age of 5. And as he ruled France for 72 years, he was one of the greatest kings, and his palace at Versailles was magnificent, the most magnificent in Europe. And so King Louis XIV called himself King Louis the Great. In 1715, when King Louis died, he gave instruction that his body is to be placed in a golden coffin in the greatest cathedral in France. And thousands of people gathered during his funeral service. And he gave instruction that the whole cathedral will be darkened. And in a darkness on top of the coffin, they are to lit a candle, a light. And so you can imagine in the darkness, there's this single solitary light on top of this golden coffin that contained this so-called great man. And then Bishop Massillon, who was the presiding bishop, in the darkness, as the funeral service started, he walked slowly and slowly to the golden coffin. And when he reached the candle, he took out his hand, and between his thumb and his index finger, he snuffed off the candlelight. And he said in the harsh silence, "Only God is great." Many men want to be great, but when they are dead, they are not great. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to share with you this glorious psalm from Psalm 8. And we have reread the 9 verses. And this psalm was written by another king, King David, who was the one who wrote the psalm. And King David wrote about 75 of the 150 psalms. And this particular Psalm 8 is a psalm of praising God. From an earthly king, imagine, praising a heavenly king, because the earthly king knew that he is not great. The earthly king knew that God, the blessed and only ruler, is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And only the heavenly king is majestic and worthy of all worship, not man. Never man. And we know that King David, he is a master writer. And when he wrote a psalm, he used a literary device to emphasize that Psalm 8 is all about how majestic is your name. If you look at the opening verse and the closing verse of Psalm 8, it is the same. And it is the same because King David wants to emphasize that when he praise God, it is how majestic is God's name. And so, brothers and sisters, if you read Psalm 1 and 9, it is the same. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, the title of my message is called Majestic is Your Name, Lord. But what is divine majesty, we may ask. And we always know that the Bible interprets Bible. And here we go to another part of the Bible in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11 that interprets what is God's majesty. And God's majesty is this, the greatness of God, the greatest in the whole heaven and earth, the most powerful one in heaven and earth, the most glorious one in the heaven and earth, and also the most splendid one in the heaven and earth. And that is the majesty of God that is awesome and magnificent. And when man compares to God's majesty, man is just stupid and foolish. Only God is majestic and worthy of all worship. And this morning, Psalm 8 will tell us that God's majesty is actually found in three ways. In three ways. The first way, God's majesty is found in the weakness of children. And you asked, why children? In verse 2. God's majesty is found in the wonder of creation that we see today. And finally, God's majesty is found in the work of Christ from verse 4 to 6. The first point, God's majesty is found in the weakness of children. Verse 2 says that through the praise of children and infants, God, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Stronghold means tower of strength to defeat the enemy. And how you may think that infants and children can defeat the enemy? It is impossible. It is crazy. It is like during the Ukrainian and Russian war today that is ongoing. Ukraine or Russia send infants and children to the frontline battlefield. And you say that this is crazy. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Word of God tells us that God's majesty is very peculiar and unique because God's peculiar majesty is found in weakness, in children, and in infants. But why, you may ask, God used children to defeat enemies? Because God liked to use the weak to accomplish great things. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says that God used the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So that we may know when the weak shame the strong, that the strength comes from God and not from humankind. And that is why Jesus goes on to say that, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In this world, humility is not greatly treasured and honored, but not so in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of God, humility is of the greatest value in the Christian world. For example, the Bible reminds us that God used a boy, a 15-year-old boy, to defeat Goliath. Goliath is 10 feet tall. It is impossible for a boy who is not a soldier, trained soldier, to defeat a trained soldier like Goliath that is 10 feet tall. David is only 15 years old, maybe 5 feet. It is impossible. But David told everyone that was present there, the Philistines and the Israelites, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saved, for the battle is the Lord, and He will give all of you into our hands. Brothers and sisters, in God's kingdom, humility is of great value. And so today, if you think that you are the weakest among the Lord, you are of great value. And if you think that you are the most humble of everyone, God can use you. And Psalms 8 verse 2 is about gate children, but weak children was actually quoted by Jesus on Palm Sunday. You know, on Palm Sunday, the last week of Jesus, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, Jesus was riding on a lowly, humble donkey. And there in the temple courts, the Bible tells us, there were many children. And these are the many children that shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It was the children in the temple court when Jesus rode on a donkey on a Palm Sunday that knew, "Hosanna, God save, to the Son of David," which means Jesus. On a Palm Sunday, it was the children and the infants that know that Jesus entered into Jerusalem for the last time on a donkey to save the whole world. And the chief priests were indignant. When the chief priests saw the infants and the children praising God, they were indignant and wanted to scold the children and ask Jesus, "What is happening?" And Jesus replied, "Have you never read? Have you never read Psalms 8:2? Have you never read Psalms 8:2, where it says that from the lips of children and infants, I have called forth your praise. I have called forth your praise." God uses children to defeat His enemy. And not only that, if we go deeper on Palm Sunday, as we read the Bible on Palm Sunday, two leaders were entering the city of Jerusalem. In the east, Jesus and His disciples was at Bethany and Bethesh. They went down the Kidron Valley, and then they rise up. They entered the city of Jerusalem through the back gate, the east gate, the small gate, riding on a donkey that is lowly and humble. On the same day, Palm Sunday, in the main entrance in the west was Pontius Pilate, the governor, the tetrarch. He came riding in his horses with his entourage of soldiers, with spears, with swords, kicking up dust, everybody running helter-skelter. And here Pontius Pilate entered the city of Jerusalem in greatness, in glory, through the main gate, the west gate. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, "Those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humble." And that is the kingdom value that we treasure. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, truly epitomizes humility in majesty. It is unimaginable. When you read this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, you cannot imagine that such a thing took place. In terms of humility, you will never come across, because Jesus was Son of God. Jesus is in heaven. He's the Son of God. But He emptied Himself. He humbled Himself of everything and did not consider Himself God something to consider, something to take advantage of. He humbled Himself from Son of God. He became Son of Man, found in the appearance of man. And not only that, He humbled Himself, He also, as a Son of Man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death. How many of us will become obedient to death when God calls us? I guess there are very few. But our Lord Jesus humbled from God to man, and man humbled to be obedient to death. And not only that, He goes on to humble the third step and humble to death on the cross. The cross is the most shameful form of capital punishment ever meted on mankind. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to think about humility, King of Jesus, God becoming man, man becoming death, death becoming on the cross. Therefore, brothers and sisters, there's no doubt in our mind that a Christian who is arrogant is an oxymoron. Many years ago, I read about Hudson Taylor, the founder of Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He brought in more than 1,000 missionaries from all over the world to go and do mission work in China. One day, he traveled to Canada to speak in a church like this, to mobilize missionaries to go to the mission field in China to save the lost. After his speaking engagement, Hudson Taylor was brought by one of the elders of the church. And the elder brought Hudson Taylor to the train station to send him off. And the elder told Hudson Taylor, "You know that you are a giant of faith. You serve God in China sacrificially. Before you came, I thought Hudson Taylor is tall, dark, handsome, eloquent, well-dressed, and greatly admired. But today, as I see you face to face, I realize that you, Hudson Taylor, is short, fat, not good-looking, not eloquent, quite shabby, and I'm a bit surprised. I'm a bit surprised that this is Hudson Taylor." But Hudson Taylor replied, "When God found me, God said, Hudson Taylor is weak enough, he will do. And all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckon that God is with them. It is God that does the work through them." Brothers and sisters, whenever we go and do work for God, do mission work, evangelism, we must realize that God is using us only. We are only His instrument. We are not the one that is doing the work, that we surrender our life, that God can work through us. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 8 tells us that God's majesty is found in the weakness of children who are truly humble. And the second way that God's majesty is found is in the wonders of creation. Verse 3 says that, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, I just worship you. How majestic is your name," David said, when he looks at the stars and the moon and the sun. The scientists today tell us, the scientists think they know a lot, so they tell us that there are 2 trillion galaxies in the universe, heaven and earth. 2 trillion galaxies, which means 2 billion galaxies in the universe. And each galaxy is 100 million stars. One galaxy is 100 million stars. And I wanted to take out my calculator to multiply 2 trillion by 100 billion, and I gave up because there are just too many zeros that man cannot fathom. And that is the creation of God. And we are located in the Milky Way. One of the galaxies is called Milky Way. And we are located there. And do you want to have a look at the Milky Way that contains 100 million stars? Here it is. Here it is. Brothers and sisters, may I ask humbly, where are you? Where are you in this Milky Way? Can you see Malaysia? Can you see Pantai Baptist Church in just one galaxy? Can you see, for that matter, Earth? Earth is not even a star, you know. There are 100 million stars there. Earth is smaller than a star. Brothers and sisters, when you want to wonder how small you are, just look at creation. Man is just like dust. Man, you and me, is just insignificant. We are nothing, absolutely nothing. But yet the Bible tells us this morning, what is mankind that you are mindful of? God's mind is full of mankind. What is human being that you take care of them? God's mind wants to take care of human being among the nothingness in the universe that is man, and God favor rests on man. He is mindful of man. God is care, take care of man. And that is why the Bible tells us that man is God's masterpiece. Don't let people despise you, okay? Don't let anybody despise me. Nobody despise me. Because I am God's masterpiece. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I don't allow people to despise me. In the eyes of God, I am His masterpiece. And that's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And why is man God's masterpiece among all His creation, among all the stars and galaxies? They are nothing compared to man. Because God say, when I form man in my image. In my image, God formed man. There is the emphasis that man, you and me, resemble God. The stars, the galaxies, the animals, the plant, nothing resemble God. Except you and me, we have the image of God. Man is God's masterpiece. And because man is God's masterpiece, God added His personal touch to man. When God formed man from dust, And then God did this wonderful thing. God breathed into the nostril of man the breath of God or the breath of life, and man became a living being. So man, unlike animals and plants, man has a body, the dust. Man has a spirit, the spirit of God. And man has a soul, a mind, a will, and a feeling. So man is fearfully and wonderfully made. Let no one despise you, because you and me are God's masterpiece. And because man is God's masterpiece, the Bible tells us that God exalted man in His grace. Verse 5 and 6 says, you have made them a little lower than the angels. Angels means God in some translation. You have made them a little lower than God, and you crown them. God crowned them by His grace with glory and honor, and God made them rulers, dominion over all creation. And God put everything under man's feet. Brothers and sisters, there's no doubt anymore in our mind that God is mindful of mankind, that God takes care of mankind, that God loves mankind, and God put man dominion over all creation in the Garden of Eden. But then, man rebelled against God. Why? Because Satan told man that if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, you will become like God. You will become like God. And that is why Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit, because they want to become like God. But they are not created to be God. And that is why when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death. And death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned, because we inherited the sin of Adam. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, we all come from him. We inherited the sin. And that is why when man rebelled against God and wanted to be like God, God banished sinful man from the Garden of Eden. And sin led to the downfall of mankind. And we all know that this world is broken. There is war happening here and everywhere. There is sickness, there is death, there is everywhere. And man lost dominion of God's creation. So brothers and sisters, God's majesty as found in Psalm 8 is found in the weakness and humility of children. God's majesty is found in the wonder of creation, especially man, where God says that this is my masterpiece. I care and mindful of man. And thirdly, God's majesty is found in the work of Christ. Verse 4, Psalm 8 verse 4 says that, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. This is in the Old Testament, Psalm 8. But Jesus has come, and in the New Testament, since Jesus has come, Psalm 8 is now quoted in the New Testament. And it's quoted by the Hebrew writer in Hebrew chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. If you open the Bible, the two verses is exactly the same. The Hebrew writer copied wholesale from Psalms. Except in the Old Testament, it was human beings. But in the New Testament, since Jesus has come, there is another human being. And that is Son of Man, Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, there is another human being, which is Jesus Christ, and he has changed it to become the Son of Man. So brothers and sisters, you will see that often, scholars say that at least 300 to 500 verses in the Old Testament that is quoted in the New Testament when Jesus come. Psalm 8 earlier we see was quoted by Jesus on Palm Sunday. So brothers and sisters, there is no doubt in our mind that the Old Testament is Jesus Christ concealed. And the New Testament is Jesus Christ revealed. And that is what happened to Psalm 8, verse 4 to 5. The Hebrew writer revealed Jesus Christ in Psalm 8, verse 4 to 5. He said that we do see Jesus Christ who was made lower than the angels. The Hebrew writer say that the Son of Man actually is a man that is in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that we do see Jesus Christ was made lower than the angels for a little while now crowned with glory and honor because the new human being, the Son of Man, came with a mission because he suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The first man lost dominion of creation. The second man comes in Jesus Christ to redeem that dominion over creation. And how he does that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 say that Jesus Christ himself took the sin of mankind in his body on the cross, that when he died, our sin died with him so that we may die to sin and live in righteousness. The first man brought sin to the world. The second man brought salvation to the world. And that is the work of Christ. And verse 6 goes on to say that you made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. When God created man, he put everything creation under the feet of man. And in the New Testament, this is quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That interprets verse 6, that the last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. The Psalms 8 verse 6 is now applied, that putting everything under his feet is applied to man and now to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has dominion over death and he conquered death. And we died on a Friday, on the Sunday, he resurrected. Death cannot keep him down. Death was conquered. And Jesus died so that sinful man did not have to die. And the relationship between sinful man and the holy God become restored and reconciled. So, brothers and sisters, indeed, majestic is Jesus' name. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus Christ, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is God. Because Jesus humbled himself, God to man, man to death, death on the cross, that indeed today Jesus is seated on the right hand of God in heaven right now. And majestic is his name. And Jesus has not finished his work yet, because Jesus will come again in the future, and Jesus will make everything new again, just like the Eden. When Jesus comes in the future, he will create a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Eden. And Revelation 21 tells us that in the future, Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the old orders of things has passed away and the new order of things will come again. And that is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we can only come to one conclusion this Sunday. Through Psalm 8, we realize that, oh God, how majestic is your name as we learn of your wondrous work in weakness through Jesus Christ, that he restored our relationship with you and brought us eternal life. And because of that, we just want to worship your greatness in your immense goodness to all humanity. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father Lord, this morning we are moved by your word that penetrates deep into our heart, our inner hidden recesses, that we can only have one heart's desire, and that is to worship you. Majestic is your name. Father Lord, each and every one of us here this morning are your masterpiece. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made and are unique. You are mindful of each and every one of us. You care for each and every one of us. You even humble yourself and died on the cross for people like us. And this morning, if you are the person that God is speaking because you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, how majestic is his name. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to raise up your hand, because Jesus has come. He come to save you from eternal death to eternal life in heaven. And if you are the one that God is speaking to, will you raise up your hand? For God loves you. God is mindful of you and concerned about your life. Will you raise up your hand? Although we are saved, we still live in a broken, sinful world. There is pain, there is suffering, there is sickness, there is brokenness. And this morning, if you are the one that God is speaking, because you are going through challenges in life, there is brokenness in relationship, in family, at workplace, your body, your health. And if you are the one that God wants to minister and speak to you this morning and want to heal you and comfort you, will you also raise your hand? For God loves you. For this morning, God wants to bless you and God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you once again. Will you raise your hand? Yes, thank you. Will you raise your hand so that God can bless you? Father Lord, you see the hand of those, your children, your beloved, the desire to worship you and please you. But on this earth, there's still sin and brokenness. May you, the God of love and comfort, comfort those who need comfort. May you heal those who are not well, who are sick. And we pray in Jesus' name that the blood of Jesus will cleanse their body and restore their body to good health once again. Lord, with you, we know that you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker and the promise keeper. Lord, will you bring healing to our brothers and sisters in their body, in their work, in their finances? Surely goodness and mercy will dwell in their lives as they walk closely with you. Lord, in your mercy and grace, bless all these people. Heal them, strengthen them, restore them. Be with them throughout their days on this earth. And may you grant them your peace always. For you are the Prince of Peace. For you are the great healer. We thank you once again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.